Well, today we are starting a new series, and you just saw what it is all about. And it is one of the frequent questions that often gets asked, is God still speaking? And how do I know it's God versus something or someone else? Just before we jump into that here today, we've been letting you know for the last number of weeks that there is a great event right around the corner called Serve South Ogden. And for 1 week, we just serve a community. And you know, it's one thing to talk about the love of God. This is an opportunity to show it in a real way. It's not the only way, but it certainly is one way to show God's love, no strings attached, and just serve our community in God's name. I want to show you a brief video here that Pastor Jimmy shot over the last number of weeks as we get ready. Check this out.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Pitts, Washington Heights Church, and our Serve project is coming up in 2 weeks. This is the team leader here at this house. This is Arturo. Arturo, what are we doing to this home?
Well, I think we're going to need a lot of paint, a lot of scraping, and maybe some deck work as well, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we're going to need people. So when he's talking about paint and deck work, we need you. We need you to sign up here today at serveogden.com. You can show up, too, at Washington Heights Church during August 9th to the 13th at any time at 8:30, and we'll put you on a team, but it really helps us out if you sign up. So we're going to do a lot of fun things. Emerson is actually a big part of this, too. Emerson, what's the most important thing we're doing?
Have fun.
Have fun. Let's have fun together. Sign up today.
Well, we are so excited, and we are at the threshold to it. It's a week away, and even yesterday I was running to hardware stores trying to get the last bit of paints. I think we got all the supplies, and so now we're looking for the people. Just even last week, I was standing in front of a home just picking up someone's trash can in that area, and I noticed a lady across the street in her house. We hadn't done anything for it, but she was out there, and I went over there and said, "Hey, ma'am, just want you to know we're all coming." And then I started talking to her, and she says, "Well," I go, "let me see your house." And I'm like, "It looks like you need some paint." She goes, "I just got a bid on it yesterday." She goes, "I was in a coma for 6 months. I'm disabled. I'm on a fixed income." I go, "Hold off on the bid." And so we picked up another home. So we need you. And it's exciting, and it's so exciting that we're able to do this as a church. And I can't thank you enough for just being all hands on deck, helping our community and loving them the way God would. So thank you guys so much.
And do I have to be there all week, Jimmy, to help out?
Yes, yes. Come see your boss that week, okay?
Everybody else.
We want you there. So right in front of you is a card. It's not too late to sign up. And even during that week, if there's something that comes up, you can just show up here at 8:30, even if you didn't sign up. So please sign up. If you just take a moment, it helps us just kind of figure out teams and locations of where everyone can be. It's a family event. Hope to see you. One day, all week, it doesn't matter. Just come have fun with us. Bring your confetti launchers.
Thank you. If you've never been around Jimmy, it's a party all the time, okay? So be ready. So let's turn our attention to the message for today. Is that you, God? How do we know that we're hearing from God? And what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks is communication. And would you acknowledge that communication is hard? Right, we know that with flesh and blood people that we try to communicate to. How hard is it with a God that we cannot see? Well, I heard this story was told by Zig Ziglar, you know, that I think just illustrates communication is hard. A woman meets with an attorney, says, "I want to divorce my husband." "Okay," the attorney responds, "let's start with a few questions first." "Like what?" she asks. "Well, do you have any grounds?" "Yes, we have about 5 acres out in the country." "No, I mean, do you have a grudge?" "No, but we have a nice wide carport and a storage shed." "Well, let me ask it a different way. Do you have a complaint about him?" "Well, like what?" "Well, does he beat you up?" "No, I'm up at least an hour before him every day." "Well, what about your role here? Does he ever, you know, wake up grouchy?" "No, when he's in a bad mood, I just let him sleep." And then the exasperated attorney finally asked, why exactly do you want to get a divorce?" "Well," she said, "the guy just can't communicate." And so it goes. How much harder is it when we're talking about hearing the voice of God? Now, I don't know if you have any experience with this phrase here, but I have. And when you hear somebody say, God told me, I don't know what your instinctive reaction is to that. I've had people start a sentence with that phrase, and there was some crazy stuff that was attributed to what God told. And my first probably initial reaction over, you know, a number of years was to say, well, it's easy to just kind of get, you know, some credibility by putting God into it. But here's something I've learned along the way too, that people have started a sentence that way, and what followed that entrance to a sentence was really good and was very helpful. And so it's not automatic, you know, that God said that, but I got to tell you, we can't just write that off either. So how do we hear the voice of God? And we live in a day where there are a lot of different voices out there, and I wonder, you know, if in the middle of all the white noise that's happening out there, if it's harder than ever to hear God's voice. We have virtual voices, and boy, the pandemic has sure, you know, made those a lot louder and a lot more prominent. We have immediate voices, things that are just coming at us every day that we have to deal with, and we, you know, hear that, we interact with that, we have to respond to that. We have past voices. Anybody have memories that kind of go along with them, and we relive events over and over again and give some commentary of what we would have done differently, and we share a desire internally about how we would have done it differently if we could do it over again? Internal voices, just that interior sort of speech that we have with ourselves that may be for the better, may not be for the better. I don't know what your internal voice sounds like, but there are a lot of different voices in play today. And so in the middle of all of that, does God still speak? Does God communicate? I don't know about you, but when you read the Bible and it says, and God said, and there's a part of me that says, was that audible? Was that an impression? What was that? And if that was true then, and God is the same God that we read about in the Bible, and he is, then what does that look like and sound like today? Well, the easy, quick answer to that question is yes. But then I think we need to go beyond that as well, because that's real simple, that's real easy. But what does it mean? And how does it work in the life of somebody who wants to hear the voice of God? First thing we got to say is that God communicates in just not one way. God communicates in numerous ways. And let me give you a couple examples from the Bible. This is from the book of Romans. For his, God's, invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuses. Talking about everybody can see and comprehend that there is a God just by the creation that is around us all the time. And it's perceived that we can understand that it communicates something to us. In the Old Testament, it says the heavens declare the glory of God. And this is the kind of communication that if you've ever been in one of those moments where there's something so big or so powerful, and you feel a little bit small in the middle of all of that, and you recognize, well, there's something way bigger, way better, way more powerful than me. That is a communication. And so one thing that we need to say about the way that God communicates is that his voice is transcendent, that it's big, that it's awesome, that it is large. But that's not all. There's a story in the Old Testament, and we don't have time to unpack the whole thing, but there was a prophet by the name of Elijah. And Elijah had a real rough sort of experience, and he was running away from a situation where people were after him, and he went out in the middle of nowhere, and God's going to come and reveal himself and communicate with him. And so there was this huge earthquake, and we think, yeah, there it is, big and powerful, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a big fire, and we think, yeah, that's big and awesome, but it says God wasn't in the fire. And then what was it with Elijah? After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Where was he? And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And we can also say that God's voice is imminent. It's close. Why would a God of great power whisper? A whisper implies proximity, right? You got to lean in for a whisper. It's something that draws us close and something that communicates that we are not distant, we are close to each other. So when we talk about learning to hear God's voice, whether it is large or whether it is that low whisper, how do we do that? And what we're going to do is we're going to learn from Jesus over the next number of weeks, because there's a chapter in the Bible, John chapter 10, where Jesus talks about that very issue, about God speaking and about people being able to hear his voice. Here's how we're going to start today. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Now, what is that sentence about? That sentence is about this world is broken. Have you noticed? Right? I mean, the economy is broken and the weather is broken. Anybody got a yard like mine that looks really, really bad right now? And, you know, so many relationships are broken. So much is so broken. And Jesus says, there's somebody else other than God who is at play here. And what is he trying to do? Steal and kill and destroy. That explains a lot. But then Jesus talks about why he came. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The word for life is actually a very popular girl's name these days. The name Zoe, if you've ever heard that, Z-O-E, is a transliteration of the word for life. And what it means is that it is life to the full. It is life with meaning and purpose and direction and hope. And so while there is this battle that is playing out, Jesus came so that people would have life. And so when you hear maybe the idea that there's a God who is pursuing me, well, what does he want? You know what he wants? Jesus said it right there. He wants you to have life and have it to the full. That's why he came, to undo a lot of the brokenness that has been put there by someone else. God wants you to hear his voice. And do you know why? Because God loves you. God loves you. And if you hear nothing else today and you're not sure about all the stuff in the Bible and not sure about this whole idea of God speaking, and you know what? If you're here checking it out, I am so glad that you are. But I hope that you can hear this. There's a God that loves you. And he loves you so much that he wants to bring you into a relationship where you experience life to the full. And then Jesus goes on and he says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Trust me. Why? Why should we trust you, Jesus? Because he said, I'm going to die for you. And when he said that, that was still in the future. We're here on the other side of it. And what we did just a few moments ago, coming to communion, we can put that in the past tense. And he did it. Trust me. Why? Why should I trust you where you're taking me? There's a lot of different voices and they want to take us in all kinds of different directions because I'm going to die for you. I'll lay down my life for you. Why? Because I love you and I want to give you life to the full. You can trust me. And then he goes on, he says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And basically, it's the same idea. Trust me. Why? Because I'm going to die for you. And have you noticed he used that phrase, the good shepherd, a couple times now? So let's talk a little bit about shepherding. And in our day, we still have it, but it's a little different than it was then. Nowadays, a lot of times when people are trying to herd some sheep, what does it look like? We have it here in Utah and some other places here in the West. It still happens. And usually you got a guy on a horse and you got a bunch of those really smart sheepdogs. And what do? They run behind the sheep, and they're driving the sheep in a particular direction. And I wonder if sometimes that's what we picture when we think of a relationship with God, that there's going to be somebody who's just barking at us the whole time, trying to drive us in a particular direction. I can remember back when I was running, was up in the mountains there getting ready for something and running down the road, and there was a whole bunch of sheep over on the side of the road. And then all of a sudden, this ginormous white dog starts coming at us. And he didn't like that we were anywhere close to those sheep. And that kind of training run turned into a sprint for a little bit because this guy was coming at us. And I think that's sometimes the perception that we have. Yeah, you know what God wants to do? And somebody is going to be just driving me somewhere that I want to maybe not go. But that's not how shepherding happened back then. Here's what would often happen. Let me give you a little bit of a picture of that. When a lamb was born, a shepherd, and there are no dogs around, he would take that brand new lamb, put it on his shoulders, and over the course of several days, he would just carry that lamb around. And in the course of that time, that little lamb learned to hear the voice of the shepherd. And then eventually that lamb could be put down and it would become part of the flock, but just like all the others, they knew the voice of the shepherd because the shepherd had carried them. And they learned what their voice sounded like. And the picture here is that there is a kind of relationship in which real people can learn to hear the voice of the good shepherd who says, trust me. Why should we trust you? Because he's going to die for us. Why would he do that? Because he loves us. But this pictures closeness, doesn't it? Proximity. A relationship that is formed over time. And it's not just, you know, the product of a formula. It's as much the product of a relationship as anything else. And so God wants to lead us into a relationship in which we learn to recognize his voice. You know, one of the questions that we get asked around here goes something like this. Why is it that we say more often followers of Jesus and not Christian? Why don't we say that a lot? And again, we say it from time to time, but that's a true question. We say followers of Jesus a lot more than we say Christian. And let me tell you why. Because in the Bible, the word Christian is only used one time. And the interesting thing is, it's never defined. And it's never even a word that is used by people who are following after Jesus. It was used by people who were observing those who were following Jesus. Let me show you that in Acts chapter 11, and it says, when he had found them, and this is talking about Paul and Barnabas, he brought them to Antioch, and for a whole year they, Paul and Barnabas, met with the church and taught a great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. It's the one time. And who called them Christians? The people who were watching them, observing them. What does Christian mean? You take the word Christ and you put I-A-N on the S, and what it means is a little Christ. These are people who are following after Jesus. Do you notice what the word is over here? The disciples were first called Christians. Here's what Jesus did not do. Jesus did not come into this world and say, all right, listen up, here to start a new religion. I think I'll name it after, well, me. Christianity, and here are the platform basically that we have. If you know anything about how Jesus showed up and invited people into a relationship with him, how did it begin? He said, follow me. Follow me. And do you know what a disciple is? The word Christian is never defined. It's one of the reasons that we have so many different versions of it. But a disciple is something that we know and understand. It means a disciplined follower of someone. It means a student of a master. It means somebody who is learning from someone else. That is easy to define. And so those who were following after Jesus were first called this name by those who were observing them and saying, yep, that's exactly what they're doing. They're following their master. They're like little Christs. We'll call them Christians. And so what does it mean to journey together with God? It means to be a student, and he is the master, to follow him. I think we have some understanding about what that student-master thing looks like. Let me give you a couple of examples. Here's one, straight out of 1984. Right, Mr. Miyagi and Daniel in The Karate Kid. Right, and there's that movie, if you've ever seen that, of wax on, wax off. And Daniel's down there, why do I have to do this? You know, like every day, this doesn't make any sense. Wax on, wax off. There's a master and there's a student. And the student follows the master. And if that's too old of an analogy for you, this was the precursor, the prequel to Cobra Kai, just in case you were wondering. And then there's also this one. There's Yoda and Luke Skywalker, right? There's the master, and then there's the student. And this one, I know this comes out of the 1970s, but then they did the one before it and then the one after it. It's like you need a whiteboard just to know where exactly we are in the story. But I think we all know that is a story about a master and about a student. And what we're invited to in a relationship with Jesus is to allow him to be the master. We are the student. And sometimes, just like that, this doesn't make any sense right now. Who's the master and who's the student? Jesus goes on to say this in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands." No one and nothing is more powerful than Jesus is. My sheep hear my voice. Shepherding image. Well, how do you learn to recognize the voice of the shepherd? By being close to the shepherd. By being in that kind of relationship where over time we learn to know that's his voice. And just like the image from back then, what a shepherd would do, no dogs around, the shepherd would just walk in front of the sheep and they would follow after him. Why would they do that? Because they've learned to trust him. And they know his voice. There was a little bit of an example that was done of this, a little bit of a test case, an experiment. And somewhere in Scandinavia, there's a flock of sheep out in the field. And some different people come and have the opportunity to try to call the sheep. And the shepherd is there as well. Let's see how that experiment played out. Check this video out.
One more time.
One day, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And I think what we need to understand right at the beginning of what we're going to look at over the next number of weeks sounds like this: to hear the voice of the shepherd. I have to know the shepherd. And to do that, we've got to be close. We need to be in a relationship with him. And there's not some quirky formula to figure all of this out. It is about closeness, proximity. It is about relationship with a God who loves you. Well, how do I know he loves me? He said he was going to die for me, and he did. Well, what does he want to do in that relationship? Where is he taking me? Why should I listen to him? He wants to give you life. Life to the full, with meaning and purpose and hope and direction. How do we learn to hear anybody's voice? Well, it's something that we develop over time. And I know we have caller ID and everything, but if maybe I called you this week and we really didn't know each other all that well, you probably go, you know, well, who is this? But if I called every day, you'd probably learn to hear it. I mean, I have caller ID. I know when my wife is calling me, but even if I didn't, and she said one word, I would know who it is. Well, how do you know that? Relationship, proximity. It's about knowing someone. How do we learn to hear the voice of God? It's really no different. We need to know the shepherd. And this really invites us to lean into a relationship with him, to follow him day by day, to just see who Jesus is, what he did, all that he has communicated to us in his word, the Bible, to be around his people who give us input and feedback and accountability in all of the right ways. To hear the voice of the shepherd, I have to know the shepherd. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads together with me as I pray. And just before I do pray, could it be that it has never been a personal thing for you to know that there's a God who loves you and loves you just the way that you are? But he also loves you too much to leave you there. And so he wants to take you somewhere, as somewhere good, filled with meaning and hope and life to the full. If you've never done that, you can take that step of faith and trust into a relationship with God. We do that by just acknowledging to God the truth about ourselves, that we've missed it, that we don't measure up to our own standard, much less God's holy standard. We ask him to forgive us. That's why he came and died on a cross for us. It's to pay for our sin. But that forgiveness is a gift, and it's a gift we need to take hold of. And we do that by putting our faith, our trust in him. And we commit ourselves to following after him all of our days. God, thank you for your great love for us. May we learn to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. And may we recognize who you are and who we are in a relationship with you. You are the master. We are the students. And God, forgive us for those moments when we think that we know better and we understand things more than you do. And so, God, may you just lead us and guide us through these weeks and help us to understand more of what you have in store for us. And we ask and pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you took that step of faith and trust, can I invite you to do something? Is to text the word trust to that number. Here's why. We want to get some material, some information into your hands about how to get that relationship started, how to get it growing, how to get it thriving. And we would love to get that helpful information to you.